today's podcast, we're going to talk about the importance of your network and actually understanding what its net worth is and what the value is to you in terms of your sphere of influence and beyond your first degree connections. This was inspired based on a recent article I read from Entrepreneur, written by their guest writer, Alp Mimraglu, based on Paul Tashima. For those of you who don't know Paul Tashima, he is the CEO and co-founder of Nudge.ai, which is a neat little tool that I actually use myself, which just keeps you up to date in terms of what's happening with your network, what they're doing, and literally gives you a nudge to do something. Paul's background prior to that was one of the co-founders of Eloqua, a marketing automation platform, which he sold to Oracle for $871 million back in 2012. And the article raises some interesting thoughts, which I wanted to share with you, because in the last 12 months, working with Digital Leadership Associates, we very much help and evangelize and talk about how organizations can activate their employee network, but more importantly, how the employees, sales, marketing, HR, doesn't matter, how you can activate your network and actually bring that to life in terms of real monetary terms. And this has also been true for me, and I'd never really necessarily thought about it from this point of from you. And hence, there are 5 points that they cover off within this piece. And networking is not necessarily about selling, it's about building trust, it's about building relationships, which then maybe you can rely on at some point later in your career, or a couple of months down the line, or even the next day, that can help activate an opportunity for you, or open a new network or a new relationship with you, which you didn't necessarily have. So point one, Alp talks about what Paul refers to as the strength of weak ties. And what he is talking about here is, don't just connect with people within your industry. And typically when working with sales organizations and sales teams, salespeople only seem to connect with each other. They don't connect with their customer base. They don't connect with thought leaders in the industry within which they are selling into, or where their product solves problems. They don't connect with influencers, alumni from previous schools and colleges. So your network is beyond your immediate sphere of influence, because you have to build that network and that relationship beyond that in order to give you wider opportunity, which may not be apparent today, but in a week, in a month, in a year's time, who knows. And as you start to build your sphere of influence, your chance of success and those weak ties will become stronger, and they will develop further and further out into that wider network. But you can't just network for the sake of sales or selling. And if you do that, it'll be very obvious, and that will just sort of break the link and break the network. And for me, I connect with most people because I want to build out my network. I want to build out my sphere of influence. But there's nothing worse when then you connect, and either immediately or 24 hours later or a week later, you get a pre-templated, quasi-automated email just that goes straight into sell mode. And I'm never going to necessarily use that relationship. I may even unfollow or unconnect with them, because it's just not what networking and relationship building is in terms of the digital context. Point two is raised that networking isn't about selling a specific product or service, as they describe. And if you just focus on selling, and that's even if that's your end goal, that can't be your starting point. You've got to build out on this, and your network should be ideally sort of product or service agnostic. I agree with that to a certain point. You absolutely have to have in your messaging needs to be around why you and why you can help with a particular product or solution, but that's got to be blended with wider industry information, thought-provoking content, be it voice, video, long-form content, short-form content, doesn't matter. But you've got to focus on the relationship with the network first, more so than actually I'm just trying to sell you something, because if you do that, you're just going to switch the network off, and they're not going to help you necessarily in the long term. We all know that relationships are built on trust, And the most successful relationships are built on that that mutual trust. And you know, as Paul DeShiemann refers to or was quoted, you have to invest in relationships and keep in mind that each person relationship is different. In my sales training days, when I have been coached, you know, one of my previous sales leaders referred to it as, you know, a bank account. Before you can take money, any money out of a bank account, you've got to invest in it, you've got to put money in. And this is the same with your network and relationship. You have to invest in your network, you have to invest in those relationships before you can start asking for, you know, for favors, for opportunities, whether it be a referral into a potential account or whether it be asking for a sales meeting or whatever it might be. The way that you can do that is by providing that your network, either in a one-to-one or in a broad sense, with information, with insights. You know, give them the keys to the castle, as it were, in terms of your views, your voice, and why you are interested in terms of what you do and why you can help individuals out. You know, that's how you start to build trust. If people get an understanding that you're just being you, there's no agenda, you're just out there to help, you're interested in sharing your thoughts and your views, then you're more likely to build that trust, and actually you sell on a relationship rather than anything else. And this is the world that we are moving into. This is the world that Microsoft and LinkedIn are now very much focusing on, is that relationship sales approach, more so than the kind of the net new approach. But also, when you come to make those introductions, it's far more powerful when you think of somebody else to make that reduction, because things happen. A, the trust level goes up, the new connection is grateful. They refer to the person you introduced your contact was also flattered to him or her that you thought of them, and both parties will remember that you were the one that facilitated that connection. So genuinely, whenever I'm meeting people, whenever I'm having conversations, I'm always thinking about how can my network help you? How can I make introductions which can help you solve the problem that you're trying to do? Even if it means nothing for me in the long term, as you start to build that network of trust, it gets stronger, those weak ties get stronger, and then they will pay it back. It will come back in terms of those introductions that you make. And you know, that is now starting to, you know, to happen with me in terms of, you know, people that I connected with, you know, many moons ago are now coming to life going, you helped me do this, you helped me find a job, you recommended that I did this. I'm now in a position of influence and I would like to help you. But this is also the importance of your network and why connecting. You know, back to that earlier point around your sphere of influence, weak ties, getting beyond your immediate network, because you never know when that may come to life. And I've been on LinkedIn for pretty much as long as LinkedIn has been, you know, been around, 10, 15 years now. And you know, my connections who were, you know, junior account managers, junior account reps, candidates when I connected, now they are decision makers, now they are influencers. My network is starting to come to life. So what would have been a weak tie back then has now become a very, very strong tie. Personalize your approach for everyone. You know, this is absolutely, you know, critical. So many times I just get connection requests where there's just a generic connection, I want to connect with you, without any sort of rhyme or reason or context as to why they are interested. Certainly on LinkedIn, the mobile app, you know, they don't make it easy to do this. You know, on the desktop version, they at least have a pause where do you want to add a personal note. But if you actually send a personalized relationship connection, or as Toshima refers to it, there's a personalization hierarchy. First focus on shared interests and passions, on the personal stuff, then look at the company and what they're doing, and finally look at their work history. You know, make it about them. People still buy from people. This is still very much an industry where people buy from people, but they want to know that you actually care and you're not in it just for a quick buck. The other thing to do is, you know, just keep reaching out regularly to people in your network. You know, how they're getting on, what's happening, what's new. But you can also do that just by sharing interesting and thought-provoking content. You know, the more that you do that, the more that people are going to engage with you, and you'll remain front of mind. And of course, you know, the fifth point that that Paul and Alp talk about is that, you know, your network exists out of your work network too. And for me, this is, as I've said earlier, connect with college alumni, sports clubs, sports associations, any kind of member groups that you are part of. You know, connect with all those people, because we are becoming, it's no longer really the 6 degrees of separation, it's probably two. That can get you get LinkedIn's got 546 million plus members on the platform. Facebook, 2 billion plus members. Look at WeChat in the billions. You know, Twitter, Instagram, all these different social platforms. But it could well be that those connections don't have, you know, have connections to people that you're trying to get to, which, you know, could well be useful for you. And of course, you need to back to the personalization piece. You need to recognize and understand that if that's a personal connection request, give an opt out. Don't necessarily expect them to make an introduction, because you don't necessarily know how strong that tie is, back to the weak ties point. But the further you broaden your network, the further you get the network of opportunity, which is what this is all about, and you broaden your sphere of influence, which is ultimately what you're trying to do. So I hope that was useful and interesting. I'll post a link to the article in the comments section. But what I want you to start doing, what I want you to think about is, you know, what is the net worth value of your network? And you can, if you're in a sales role, or even marketing, it doesn't really matter, you can start to work that out by taking average order value, you know, what that cost is, look at the number of first degree connections that you've got, times that by the value of the deal. That then is your first degree network of opportunity. If you then times that by two, that is your secondary network, and so on, and so on and so forth. So you can actually start to put a monetary value to the value of your network based on the connections that you have. The more connections you have, the bigger your sphere of influence, the more weak ties you have that can become strong ties, the further you can move your brand, your opportunity, your content, your message, and your story. As ever, thank you very much for listening. If you have any questions or there's anything that you would like me to discuss further, get in touch, follow me on Twitter at Alexander_Lowe, connect with me on LinkedIn. Otherwise, thank you for listening to this short podcast, and until next time.